If you're a Western Washington liberal, you know why rural Washington voted for Donald Trump. The stories are in your Facebook feed. They're in your trusted newspapers. Rural America is racist, xenophobic, and misogynistic, or else they're mad because the global economy took their jobs. That's the story, anyway. Crosscut reporter David Croman decided to go and meet some of these voters. He drove across the mountains to Ritzville in Washington's Adams County.
One narrative I think we keep hearing is, we talk so much about the recovery of the recession, but all these white working class people aren't experiencing that necessarily. And so that's what I expected to hear. And it seemed like going to one of the poorer counties in Washington would be a good place to hear that.
And what did you actually hear?
You know, I mean, obviously there's some of that because everybody hurt in the recession, but it wasn't at the forefront as much as I expected it to be. One of my first interviews was with the clerk treasurer of Ritzville. And she talked about how, you know, the economy of Ritzville and parts of Adams County was propped up on agriculture, which has a lot of federal subsidies, and travelers going to and from Seattle or Spokane stopping in these towns, neither of which were necessarily recession prone. Not to say, again, that it was easy for them, but the major complaints that I heard were, honestly, as I was hearing them, things that were really intuitive and things that I've always sort of, I guess, known about Eastern Washington. We feel like we don't have a voice.
This is Olympia and Washington, D.C. they're complaining about?
Yeah, exactly. Especially, I would say the ire for Olympia is probably even stronger than their ire for Washington, D.C. Just this sort of image of all these elites sitting around a table making decisions on Eastern Washington's behalf. I think is a more powerful narrative than people in Seattle really can even understand. Every time I would tell someone I'm from Seattle, you'd get this little eye roll, and you know people are basically nice, but would make note of that and say, you know, I won't hold that against you too much.
So is that do you think the root of their frustration? First of all, are they even frustrated? Is that fair to say?
Not everyone I talked to was frustrated. I had this good conversation with this woman who owned a coffee shop in Ritzville. Talked about how things were basically going really well for her and her husband. She was ecstatic about the fact that she could afford a house out there for $50,000. Said basically in general, people are doing pretty well. It's a pretty common joke that I heard about the wives of farmers driving around in Cadillacs because they get so many subsidies from the federal government.
How did they reconcile that? Did people engage with that?
No, not really. I mean, so I asked this one woman about it who, as she was finishing up this thought about how people in Western Washington or, you know, poor people who live in Seattle depend on the government and we out here work really hard for what we have. I followed that up pretty quickly with, well, what do you say about the millions and millions of dollars of federal subsidies that you get? And she sort of said, well, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that was basically her answer.
So it's less frustration than that eye rolling?
Well, I would say, I mean, the sense that I got is that there was a lot of it had to do with kind of a nostalgic feeling, kind of a vagueness. One of the men that I talked to who owned a shop in downtown Ritzville, also a city councilman in Ritzville, said, you know, I'm okay with changing culture, but it can't happen too fast. And so I think that sort of gets, if anything, gets to the base of what the people I spoke to were motivating their vote after. It's that America is changing in this way, and it's not necessarily economically, but it's becoming more multicultural. President Obama is inviting Syrian refugees in, and there's a real worry that culturally, more than economically, they don't necessarily have a place in that.
They have to be more politically correct.
Right.
How they refer to people. They feel out of their comfort zone.
That's the sense I was getting at the root of what I found is worry that this sort of idyllic image of rural America was somehow going to be taken away from them. But also, I mean, there's so much talk about the anxiety of the white working class and how that flipped this election. But to a certain extent, I feel like they get a lot of attention because they are a swing vote. So, you know, a lot of people voted for Obama in 2012, apparently now voted for Donald Trump in 2016, and that's kind of been the narrative. But the reality is places like Ritzville or places out here in eastern Washington have been voting for Republicans forever. And that is the real foundation. The majority of people who voted for Donald Trump voted for him because they've always voted for Republicans, and they have just always they've decided a long time ago that Republicans have the back of agriculture. They're less interested in regulation, and they like that. So we talk a lot about how this was some sort of revolutionary vote against change and populism and all that, but
a backlash, a white lash.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you go out to a place like Ritzville, and I'm not sure I would have heard anything different 4 years ago had I gone out there and talked to people about why they voted for Mitt Romney.
But how do they talk about the misogyny and the racism and the mocking the disabled and the groping?
Right. Well, one man I was talking to said he was with a group of women when the groping video came out, and he said none of the women he was around really, you know, cared about that. And the racism bit, they're very quick to distance themselves from the KKK or any of those groups. But at the same time, there's this sort of, I think for Seattleites, almost outdated interpretation of race, which is, how can I be racist? I don't even see color. One person told me, I treat everybody like they're white, as if that was the quality necessarily, that you should just treat everybody like you would treat a white person. So the conversation out there sounds a lot different than I think what Seattle people are used to.
David, what did you take away? What do you want us to take away from the picture you got from Ritzville?
I think we on the west side of the mountains underestimate how disenfranchised and how distant people feel from decision makers, especially in this state. And I think on the east side of the mountains, they underestimate how important multiculturalism is in places like Seattle. You know, people say these things about Muslims that if you read in the piece or whatever that I write, then that's all you get. It sounds sort of terrifying for a Seattleite, but I think you can go out there and understand that it comes from a place of basically these people just don't know any Muslims. They would say these things about how, you know, I've heard that all Muslims support honor killings or Sharia law. And then I would immediately ask, how many Muslims do you know? And they would say none. They've never met a Muslim. So I just think these divisions can be broken down pretty easily just by simple people-to-people interactions.
Did your trip change you? Or is it about, yeah, it's about what I figured.
Well, I mean, so part of the reason I liked going out there and wanted to do this story is that I've lived in Eastern Washington and I've worked in Eastern Washington before. And so what's actually been surprising since I published the story is how much reaction I've gotten to it, which is quite a bit, because none of this was necessarily surprising to me. I mean, it was just basically good people out there who feel like government shouldn't play much of a role, and that kind of informs a lot of their decisions. And that has always been kind of an intuitive thing to me about Eastern Washington, but since I've published, I've gotten more reaction to this piece than anything I've written about Seattle, really. And that surprises me that this story is at all surprising to anybody.
What's the gist of the reaction?
I mean, positive, but just that it is notable that I drove across the mountains and took 2 days to putz around Ritzville and talk to people. It didn't feel that notable to me, but people are sending me notes and saying, oh, I'm so happy you did this and stuff like that. I mean, it's basically positive stuff, but it seemed like such a simple thing to do, to go over there and just ask people why you voted for Donald Trump. And yet the fact that I'm getting more reaction to it than basically anything else I've written suggests to me that it's just not happening that often, that we're either of us are crossing the mountains and just asking each other, why did you vote this way?
It's like you went into the woods. Did you get grandmother's permission? You took your
right.
basket and you walked
right.
there?
Right. It's so simple and cliche to a certain extent. It's almost annoying to say, but we just don't understand each other that well on either side of the mountain.
Crosscut reporter David Croman crossed the mountains, drove I-90 to Ritzville to find out why rural Washington voted for Donald Trump.